You are listening to KTWH LP 99.5 FM, Two Harbors Community Radio Station. Coming up next, what's happening? It's 9:02, and without further delay, you're listening to What's Happening on KTWH, and I have Jay Balcastro on the phone with me. He is the acting superintendent for the Lake Superior School District and a frequent contributor to our station. Thank you, Jay, for calling in this morning. How are you?
I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm good. It's a beautiful sunny day out, and things are looking up. So it's been a couple months, Jay, I think, since you've been on, and we've been through a lot, as per usual. And then I think many listeners who are not associated with the schools are hearing vaguely that something's starting up again. Do you want to just tell us what the plan is and how it's rolling out?
Sure, yeah. The Governor Walz and the Department of Health and the Department of Education have put a big push to get kids back into the classrooms after looking at the data and understanding what impact COVID has on the youngest learners. MDH decided it was time to work with MDE to get kids back in.
Yeah.
And so we've had three different consult meetings with MDH. Each time we've gone out on a different learning model. We make sure we know our lane. Our lane is education. It isn't necessarily medical professionals, but very fortunate to include our medical team in making these decisions. So we have a COVID district team that meets every Thursday at 3. And when numbers started to elevate, we brought in MDH. We had a meeting with them, explained the situation, and the decision was to go out. And then as numbers started to go back down, brought the team back together with MDH, and the decision was to bring our youngest learners back. And so I'm happy to report the Minnehaha has all of their learners all in person on a reduced schedule. So their schedule is 8:30 to 2:30, allowing time for our students that are still in the distance model by choice for teachers to service those students.
Hmm.
This Monday and Tuesday, the teachers at Two Harbors High School had a planning day, and Wednesday we were excited to see our senior high students. I shouldn't say that. I should say our 6-8 students coming back into the building.
Yeah.
So MDH made what's called a roll-in process, meaning that you can only do 3 grade levels at one time. And so when we met with them, it was determined that we were going to do our 6-8 at Two Harbors High School, our K-2 at the Minnehaha. And due to the size of Kelly and the number of students per grade, they were able to roll back into their model because of their compliance within capacity. So all of our kids are back. We're excited to see them. And it's awesome to hear their voices.
Yeah, I bet. And then, like you said, it's a staggered start. When do the rest of the grades come in?
It's a 2-week roll-in, so the idea is to provide opportunities for students to get in, staff to get adjusted. If anything elevates, it doesn't take out the entire staff, and so we'll now look 2 weeks from Monday, I think it's February 9th, that we'll see the rest of the students in the building.
Whew, that is a wonderful, really, really good news, and I think we can add to that good news. Just interviewed Scott Ross, and he was heading out to get his vaccine, and we've heard that educators are high on the list, and I'm so glad they are. Do you have any more details about that other than that that's starting to happen?
Yeah, it's you know, through every challenge, character is built, and you really understand how critical teamwork is. I can't say enough for Lake County Public Health and Tracy Gilswick and Lisa Hansen, who have worked so closely with the Lake Superior School District. So when I got the call that the clinic had secured 80 vaccinations for our educators, you can only imagine how excited
yeah.
I was. So really there's two things going on with vaccinations. One has got a lot of criticism and some concerns, and that's the pilot program. That's really been spearheaded by MDE and MDH. So we had our first group of staff that were vaccinated in Mountain Iron at the service co-op, and that group we identified, the COVID team identified as employees that are 65 years of age or older and or in high contact with students that may not be mask compliant. And so we sent up 8 employees last Friday, Saturday, up to Mountain Iron to get their vaccination, their first shot. And then we had an additional 27 through the pilot program for today and tomorrow. And so we prioritized what we determined to be our most at risk. And then from there, we got the call that the hospital and Lake County Public Health were able to secure these additional vaccinations. And then we just kind of opened up and we were getting everybody through. So really thankful for that, thankful for the work of Lake County Public Health. And we've got educators across all different spectrums of employment, from teachers to bus drivers, custodial staff, starting that process of getting the vaccination.
Yeah, that is exciting. And it sounds like we get the allotment, but then there's a great level of local control, and you guys can basically decide who is the most at risk here, who are we going to prioritize. And that would be a best-case scenario, that it's locally driven, because I would think no one knows better than you how to do this.
Yeah, you know, and again, it was a team effort. It's a bit playing the Hunger Games, and it wasn't the most comfortable feeling determining
right.
Who that first 9 or 8 were that
right.
got it. But
right.
But it's, you know, again, we had a process, and the process has been collaborative. It's been communicated well. And so this would not be a decision you'd want to put on any one individual, but we feel good about the process, and our COVID team has done a great job with the administrators, just making sure that we're starting this process and keeping the building as safe as possible.
Yeah, it seems like if you have already a baseline of relative high trust and goodwill, then this process can move forward. Otherwise, it could get pretty sticky in there, I could
yeah.
totally imagine.
Absolutely.
Now, we also know that there is a certain amount of distrust of the vaccine out there and wondering about side effects and just the general health questions. Is that a factor in here, or is it pretty straightforward as far as people wanting to get it? And I'm just curious about that aspect of it.
Yeah, the nursing staff had sent out a survey, and so at that point, every employee, 250 plus in the district, had the opportunity to put down if the vaccination was an option, would they get it? And it was a simple yes or no question. If the answer was no, we moved on. This is not a mandate. They don't
okay.
have to get it.
Yeah.
But it was, so the ones that said yes, then it was sat down and we looked at their job. And from that perspective, identified the kind of the running list, if you will, of who will start the process.
Yep. Well, I like to hear that there was that element too of choice in there, and
yeah.
That's great. And so it's probably too early to tell, Jay. I know you just really started the rollback, but any responses? Or I know once again now teachers are tasked with doing in person and distance at the same time. That's quite a job to saddle people with, but you know, maybe we're getting used to it. I don't know what any thoughts about all that.
Yeah, I used to it would be a stretch. I think it's
yeah, right.
It's tough. It really is. I mean, I think anybody that sits back and is naive to believe that this is an easy process is really naive to the challenge of education. But our teachers are great. They step up. They may not always agree with what decisions are from the admin team or the school board, but they step up and they meet the challenge. That being said, you know, we still We still have distance learners, so we're still granting every staff member in the classroom 2 hours of prep time. And so I'm not sure, if I were a betting person, I would bet that we'll probably remain in a shortened schedule for the duration of the school year, unless something crazy happens with the state. But as long as we have distance learners, we need to support the teachers that educate those students. And it's hard to, you know, you just can't expect them to teach a full class period, 5 classes, and then come back and spend time on their own teaching outside of the contract day. So that extra time really does a nice job to support. That being said, it's still an unbelievable endeavor to keep everything balanced. We do here, it's interesting, we have teachers that really have enjoyed this experience. In fact, I was making copies the other day, and I just overheard a teacher, and her comment was the creativity she can do now is so much different than she did in the classroom. And I sat back, and I'm thinking, I wonder what that would be. You know, but oftentimes we have to remember that school is not always great for everybody. And so having students that feel comfortable in this environment where they're not sitting in a classroom at 25, you know, they answer a question wrong, and all of a sudden the looks and the snickers and everything that comes their way, there have been staff and students that have really flourished. And so we are now establishing a task force to look at, you know, what will we come out of this experience with? What are we glad that's done? And what are we kind of excited to look at opportunities? And very seldom in education do we get to be really proactive. Most of the time it's reactive, but we have a group now that's going to start thinking about, can we repackage the high school experience? We think it's best at the high school level, at least at this point, and looking at what that might be with a combination of both in-class distance and also kind of an on-the-job training component. So our counseling staff is working on that, and we're kind of excited to see where that one goes.
Yeah, that is really cool that you're somehow have the energy not only to be reacting to COVID, but to really try to be picking apart a little bit, like what are the things that maybe we never want to say goodbye to again. And that's amazing. And you know, when I ask kids, you know, how's it going, school or in school or at home, I have to tell you, I get just such a huge variety of answers. It is really true. Yeah, some kids they just are so ready to go back to school, it's not even on the a question. And then other kids are like, I don't know, there's certain things they like about the homeschool. And I mean, it just is a huge variety. So I'm so glad that you're taking a solid look at that. And I think that's exciting and could be a way we can also once again lead in our region. And that's just, the possibilities are enormous there. So Jay, we're running out of time, but I have one more quick question for you. There is a an ICS project out there that is also looking to the future. Can you just tell listeners what's going on there in case they hear about it in the community?
Absolutely. So ICS has been hired by the Lake Superior School District to assist in really taking a deep dive, kind of a longer strategic look at our buildings. You know, what are the brick and mortar? What's that like? As well as what is the education like for our students and our families? So ICS is helping the district frame up, as we know, Two Arbors High School will be off the books here shortly. And so what we're looking to do is to go back to the taxpayers and what's considered a tax neutral levy, meaning that there is not an increase in taxes, but a continuation to what has been paid. And that then allows revenues to help with, you know, getting a 21st century learning experience for all of our students. Could be some needed repairs at up in Kelly or at the Minnehaha. Certainly Two Arbors High School is in pretty good shape as a newer building. And really, really using that money in a mindful way that can continue to grow the district and support the learners. So that's what ICS is doing. I know they met with the parent advisory group in what's called a listening session. And so they asked 10 questions, and they've been out to, I would say the parent advisory group is one of maybe 15 across the district from north to south that they've gathered this information. At our next school board, ICS will then present the results from these listening sessions. Currently, we're also establishing a financial strategic team that will really take a deep dive into how schools are financed and what are some of the financial challenges that schools face. And all of this information then will be packaged into something we hope that the voters will support come next November as we look at continuing in that tax neutral levy.
Yeah, and as part of the parent advisory group meeting, I think they actually had 19 listening sessions already, or they had planned to do 19 total. Yeah. So they're really asking everybody. They're asking community leaders. They're also just asking citizens, parents, students, teachers. And, you know, one of the questions we had was, imagine you're writing the front page of the local paper on in 20 years. This is what Lake Superior School District has done or represents. You know, it was definitely really fun for us parents to really think, like, what in essence do we want our school to be? And so they're really asking kind of the deep, big picture questions that can be very easy to never be asked when you get caught up in the day-to-day. So kind of neat that they're reaching so broadly and really not afraid to look at everything. And I'll be so curious what they come up with. I know that the presentation, I believe, is going to be public. You know, anyone will be able to access it. And so, you know, one of the things that came up with the parent group a lot was this idea of intergenerational and integrated into the community kind of a school. And so what that takes is community input and community investment. So here's hoping that listeners and others will take part in this and really pay attention to what they come up with and weigh in when they are asked to.
Absolutely. Yeah. No, it's important to get all different stakeholders, kids, you know, parents of students within the district, business owners, community leaders, everybody that makes a community is really who we're trying to get their voice heard. So,
yeah
it's good. And you're right. At the next board meeting they'll present, it'll be about a 45-minute presentation. And if interested in hearing the results of that, certainly get a hold of Deb Peterson in the district office, and she can give you the code to log on to that meeting.
Yeah. Once again, another great thing is this Zoom capacity that has grown exponentially in the last year.
That's true.
All right. We're out of time, Jay. Thank you so much. We will have you again
soon. Sounds good. Thank you so much. Take care.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye. That was Jay Belcastro, Acting Superintendent for Lake Superior School District. You're listening to What's Happening on KTWH. This show is rebroadcast every Sunday at 1 p.m. Stay tuned. All right, here we are on What's Happening on KTWH, and as promised, Kenny Blumenfeld, Senior Climatologist at the Minnesota Department of Natural Resources, is with us for his weekly weather and climate tidbits. Good morning, Kenny.
Good morning. How are you?
We are well. Let me just give you a quick recap. We did get a little 2 inches of snow about a week ago, which made our ski trails back in pristine shape. And so those of us who are skiing couldn't be happier. We've had a nice burst of cold and, not like insanely cold, but decent cold temperatures, often below zero at night. And now it seems to be warming up again. So, it's been a good week here.
Yeah, it's funny how, isn't that funny how a couple inches of snow a week ago seems like such a treat.
Oh yeah, it totally was. It just made the world white again instead of kind of brown and icy. And, well, oh my gosh, it makes a huge difference.
things are looking up. I'll say that.
Oh, tell us the details. This is music, nectar for the ears.
Yeah. So the first thing is, over the weekend, there's going to be a low-pressure system that's going to pass well to the south. And normally, it would be far enough away that it probably wouldn't have much of an effect on the North Shore. But because it's going to pick up some moisture from the lake and then dump that moisture inland, I actually wouldn't be surprised if you get, especially in the higher elevation, of course, but I would be surprised to see a little bit of accumulating snow, maybe a few inches over the weekend.
Oh, nice.
I think it's going to be the sort of thing, if you go over to the Iron Range, you probably won't see much at all. But if you're just in the uplands and in the upslope areas and near the shore, I would not be surprised at all to see anywhere between 1 and 4 inches. And who knows, Isabella can always get 5 or 6 inches out of nothing. So,
is part of that lake effect? I know we have east winds, which is, it's been west, 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 and now suddenly it's east, and suddenly we got a chance of snow.
Yeah, it's absolutely, it's what I would call, and what I think forecasters refer to as lake enhancement. So it's basically taking a process that would already be producing at least very light precipitation or spotty precipitation, and the lake is essentially enhancing that, adding moisture and adding lift and creating a narrow area of heavier precipitation. So this will really come, I guess we're looking at late Saturday into Saturday night and into parts maybe early Sunday. And again, I wouldn't be surprised. It's not going to be a real blizzard or anything like that, but I wouldn't be surprised to see the landscape freshen up, especially in the higher elevations. But even right into Two Harbors, I wouldn't be surprised to see a couple inches of snow. So it looks promising.
Wonderful.
And then we are watching a massive storm that looks like it is poised to really flip the season on us next week. So before we talk the next time, so this is why it's far enough away that I don't know. We don't know exactly where it's going to go. It could miss. It could hit directly. It could stay a little west. But this thing looks like it's going to be loaded up with cold air and moisture. And has the potential, on the warm side of it, you're going to see rain and you're going to see sleet. Mm. But on the back side, it looks like snow, snow, snow. So we're talking late Wednesday into Thursday. And, of course, we don't know. Again, there's uncertainty.
Yeah.
But this thing, we're talking every forecast model has shown some kind of major weather system with kind of blizzard signatures somewhere in the region, not far from Minnesota. And, this is the kind of storm that has the potential to produce over 10 inches of snow and strong winds and really transform the landscape. So you can cross your fingers. It's too far away to say, yes, it's going to hit the North Shore, but the current model simulations have it hitting Minnesota in any case. It's a good looking storm. And then after that, it's quite likely that we will flip to below normal temperatures for some time. I don't know exactly how deeply cold we will get. That depends on if a second system comes behind it and then starts importing the air from, northern Canada.
Is this the polar vortex thing or no?
It's polar vortex-like. Let's say that.
Okay.
It's polar vortex-like. So that's kind of, those are the main stories in our region right now. We're going to end a very warm January. They'll probably end it with a little bit of snow. And then we're going to watch as we get into next week as a major weather system. I mean, and it's, I can all but guarantee there will be a major low pressure system passing somewhere through the middle of the country. I just can't guarantee its latitude. Mm. But right now, all the recent simulations are very friendly to Minnesota. If you like winter storms, we'd be looking at a pretty good one for the second half of next week.
Wow.
So I'm excited.
Yeah. I think that's music. I'm thinking of the Berkey Biner and how that must be music to their ears. Hopefully, if they can get a good base by then, you know, to help them guarantee that their race is going to happen. I know they've gone to huge lengths to provide a COVID-friendly race. I know there are several skiers who are actually going to do their race remotely from the Gunflint Trail. But, you know, everyone's just so happy. If there's good conditions, it just makes everyone happy. So,
it would certainly be nice. After kind of an inconsistent early winter, I think some folks would like to see good, you know, good skiing conditions, good snow recreation conditions across the board for, even if it's just for a few weeks.
Right.
People would like to see that.
And you did mention, didn't you, that often this, just because we had warmth for so much of our first half of our winter, it can switch on a dime. And it sounds like you're thinking this is a long-term switch. Like, we might well have a cold second half of our winter.
Well, so I would say that this will put a cold second half of the winter on the table. I guess I can't say it will definitely happen. But if we are going to have a flip, this is our shot.
Yeah, okay.
The cards have been dealt. yeah. So what are we going to turn over when it's our turn? It looks promising for winter lovers for at least the next couple weeks at a minimum. Because even if we miss this storm and it skirts off to the southeast or for some reason goes too far northwest, the colder air mass in general will start bringing us more chances. So even if we miss the big one, I think you'll start seeing that kind of steady diet of, you know, light snowfalls at least in the region.
Yeah.
So I think either way we've got a reasonably wintry first half of February that we can look forward to.
Okay. Wonderful. Well, thank you for being the bearer of such fun news, and we'll see what that was when we talk to you next week.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see how much crow I'm eating on this one. You had mentioned this giant snowstorm, and we had sunny skies all week. I think that we're looking pretty good. I'll be interested to see.
Yeah, totally. You guys just you throw yourselves out there over and over again. I don't know how you do it, but.
Well, I just say that, you know, this isn't even my job. I'm a climatologist, so
yeah,
let the meteorologist take the heat.
That's right. That's right. Awesome. All right. Well, we'll talk to you again next week. Kenny, thank you so much.
Great. Thank you. Have a great weekend.
You too. Bye-bye. That was Kenny Blumenfeld's Weather Tidbits, which are aired at the end of What's Happening. And What's Happening is from 9 to 9:30 on Friday mornings and 1 to 1:30 rebroadcast on Sundays.